Look nice. So many help make that possible. I read a quote or a statement recently that kind of made the hair on my neck bristle. The statement read this way: the Bible is the world's number one best-selling coffee table book. I thought about that, and as I thought about it, I realized, sadly, that's probably very true, at least in our Western civilization here. And that truth that on those end tables or coffee tables, you could see a dust outline of where that Bible sits. Not talking to anybody's dusting habits or anything, but to the infrequency of picking up that precious book. And sadly, individual lives and families reflect that truth, I fear. That God's Word is merely a decoration that we set on a table prominently in our house and go, look, and there it stays. We're considering core concepts, and as we've been doing this, we've already addressed that it is Christ who is building His church. We've looked at baptism and communion, and the beautiful, beautiful thing that those are for the church. Last week, we were challenged in our evangelism, sharing our faith, our relationship with Jesus Christ to the world around us. And this morning, I want us to look at the core of these cores that we're looking at. This morning, I want us to consider God's Word, the Scriptures. Consider with me the implications of 2 Timothy 3:16. And I'm just curious, this is something fun for a pastor to do. If you have your copy of God's Word, can you hold it up? I know some are going to actually hold up a phone, but, you know, yeah, okay, good. All right, I actually want you to turn there. I know we can get so lazy looking at a screen, but I want you to understand that the things we are looking at are found in God's Word. And if you turn to 2 Timothy, there is an amazing passage of Scripture in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Look at what it says. All Scripture. If you like underlining, underline the word all. Okay? All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that, there's a reason, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Consider that passage. All Scripture. That means when we open up our Bibles and we read the New Testament, that is inspired, that is God's Word. I believe that this church believes and teaches that. When we go to the pages of the Old Testament, it is God's Word, it is God-breathed. Every verse, every chapter, every page in Scripture, every word is God-breathed. We hold that here at this church. As your pastor, I will teach that, I will preach that. The Word of God, think about that. Words. When one speaks, the breath, the very words that God breathed are in this book. It is precious. And yet we hold them. They're typed out on paper in black and some red. And they're just mere words on a page to some. Peter would share in 2 Peter, you can turn there too. There's going to be a lot of turning pages today or tapping on your phone. If you get tired of tapping, then you can look up here, okay? But in 2 Peter, Peter says this about the very words that God has given in verse 20 of chapter 1. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. But men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. These things weren't written just because Paul or Peter or David or Jeremiah or any of the other ones who wrote because they had a great idea. In fact, David, in that song that we just sung, Psalm 139, would say that to God in that psalm, "Search my heart and show if there is any wicked way in me." Guys, we don't want to see the wickedness in us. We don't write those things. This is not from man, but from God. And it's precious. I fear that the American church, and maybe even this church, may not understand how precious these words are until they are taken away. I read email after email throughout the week of those who have had God's word banned and taken away from them. And yet we hold it on in our homes. We put it on our coffee table to collect dust. We have it on our phone with us 24/7. I watched a video clip. Sometimes I get sucked into those. I'm sure some of you get sucked into those too. But it asked, what would happen? And it showed initially someone walking around with their phone and bumping into things and stuff. And that's typical of most people today. But what would happen if we held on to the Bible, walked around with it and read it and treated it like we actually treat our phones? If we gave equal time, just equal time, in God's Word and on our phones, what would happen in the believer's life? I was convicted by that because I went and turned on my screen time and I'm like, holy cow, I got to get spend more time in the Bible there. I'm a pastor. God's word is precious. I don't want you to answer. I want you to think, have you this week savored the precious word of God? Look at what some of these writers of the Scripture say about God's Word. David in Psalm 34:8 would say, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is a man who takes refuge in Him." The psalmist in Psalm 119 would say, "How sweet are your words. How sweet to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Peter would declare, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word." Have you ever seen a baby crying and wanting to nurse, wanting that bottle? He says, as they long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it they may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Jeremiah would write, Oh, that prophet, I love Jeremiah. Your words were found and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and a delight to my heart. For I have been called by your name, O God of hosts. Job, we remember Job for all his suffering and all the troubles that he went to. But look what Job says. He says, I have not departed from the command of his lips, God's lips. I have treasured. What do you treasure? Jesus would say, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. But Job says, I have treasured your words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He desired them that much. Oh, that we would be like David, Jeremiah, Job, and others in Scripture that describe their love, their desire, their longing for God's Word. And I stand here preaching this message to you, understanding that I have lacked in my life and my heart as well. What would the church look like today if we desired God's Word, if we longed for it? Let that image come to your mind just for a moment. What would God's church look like? Or is it the pastor's responsibility to read this book, to study it, know it, share it with you? The answer is yes, that is my responsibility. But it's also yours. See, I take time through the week and I am nourished through the words that I study. And I try in less than an hour even, I don't even get a full hour, to try to nourish you in God's Word. I've illustrated this before, and I want to illustrate it again for you because I feel this is a great picture, and it gives me an opportunity every 4 years or so to eat on stage. So, I am going to do something for you. I am going to sacrifice for you. I have some food up here. Some of my favorites, okay? I have some barbecue chicken. I've really been excited about this one right here, okay? This is good. Ooh, it's still warm, too. Oh, I know. My wife's like, I got you a fork so you don't have to use your fingers. I mean, it's one thing to lick a fork. It's another thing to lick your fingers. So, I mean, oh, it's still juicy, too. That's good, okay? The barbecue, it has a little zing to it, but there's some honey. It's juicy. I have to chew it. I was taught not to chew with your mouth full, or talk with your mouth full. It's probably good to chew when your mouth is full. so you get to lick your fingers. People are going, he's doing this on camera. I know. This is really good here, though. Look, oh, butter shrimp. She's like, here's a fork so you don't get it all over you. If it drips on me, you get to see that drip and go, oh, my goodness. Garlic butter shrimp. I don't know. Some of you don't like seafood, but the ones that do, you're going, that looks really good. It is. I'm going to have a second one. They're little, so I can justify that. And the butter. I know it's not good for you, but it's so good for you. There's a hint of garlic in there. And you know, I am a chip and queso guy, but I'm a sissy when it comes to spicy, so I have to get mild, but this is my favorite white cheddar queso. Mm. Mm. and the salt on the chips just makes that flavor burst. There's a little zing to it, which that creamy cheese with the zing. Oh my goodness. You know, you have to kind of get the chips out of your teeth because they stay in there, but they're good. And I don't want cheese fingers touching this next one. This is the best. I'm not a huge dessert guy, okay? But my wife and daughter are huge on these, and I've actually grown to really like them. Have you ever had a chocolate-covered strawberry? I know. These were made fresh this morning. Okay. Yes, I'm going to eat the whole thing. My daughter is over there going, oh, that's not fair. I prefer dark chocolate, but that milk chocolate really draws in with that juicy, sweet strawberry. Oh. And I know what you're thinking. Now that he has described that little snack there, we can go an hour because I'm full. I mean, aren't you satisfied? And I probably have something in my teeth. I won't know till afterwards, but... wasn't that wonderful to digest that together? I'm glad you're satisfied because I can go much longer now. We'll. You see the irony of it, don't you? Yeah, the irony is that you can almost taste it. I say almost. If you're sitting close enough, maybe the aroma might get there. You see it. You can almost enjoy it even. Like, wow, that strawberry was juicy. I saw that drip there. Imagine, though, if you had your own bowl of chocolate-covered strawberries sitting in your lap. And you were able to pick it up as I was describing it. You'd be able to pick it up and go, oh, I taste that, yeah. Oh, that flavor, the juice from that strawberry, yes. Oh, I see what you're talking about, Pastor. That is amazing. Yeah, that cake has just a little zing. I taste that too. Imagine if you had these things in your lap and you were consuming them with me. You would actually be nourished long enough to sit here longer. Why is that funny? Oh, come on. I'm not sure if the mic picked that up, but that was not a joke. Okay, it's funny. Here's the expectation, church. God set forth an expectation that, yes, your pastor knows this book. He takes time to devour it, chew on it. Yet in the American church, we have become so comfortable with pre-chewed Bible. And sometimes we like those short little podcasts or video clips, or I don't even have TikTok, but I guess there's TikTok clips, where it's real short and brief, and somebody's chewed and they go, bleh. And we're like, oh, that's so good. It's already chewed. I'm glad it might encourage you. What I'm hoping, though, is that when you see that, you're not the one trying to consume that. It pushes you to God's Word. You're like, I want to taste that for myself. I want to pick up God's Word that's in my lap, in my hands, in my house, on my coffee table. I want to pick that up. And, oh, I want to devour it. There's an expectation that God has for you and I, and His expectation is that you and I know God's Word. that we train in God's word, that we delight in God's word. And I want us to look at that. Paul expresses this expectation, and it's actually not even really an expectation. It's a directive. If somebody expects something of you, that's one thing. If something directs something of you, that's another. And this is a directive given to us. Romans 12, look at this. Romans 12, verse 2, it reads, "And do not be conformed to this world." Oh, it's so easy to be conformed to this world, is it not? Especially when we hold a phone in front of us or a screen in front of us more than we do God's word. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." How? "By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." You and I are to allow our minds to be renewed by His Word. But to be renewed, we actually have to think. We actually have to take time to engage in it, grapple with it. And grappling takes time, doesn't it? It's far easier to let someone else chew on something than to take time chewing, because you have to pause. You have to work at it a little. Allow God's word to renew your thinking, my thinking. Some of us are so accustomed to just swallowing. Like babies that just swallow the milk. There's no effort, rather than chewing on the meat. The writer of Hebrews would say this of the believers he was writing to. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. He's kind of blunt with them. He goes, "For by this time you ought to be teachers. Some of you have had a relationship with Jesus Christ for quite some time. Some of you are new in your relationship with Jesus Christ." That's awesome. You know what I found is typically those who are new in their relationship with Christ have a lot more desire to get to know Him, to spend time with Him. But it says this of those, He says, "By this time you ought to be teachers, yet you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and to have you have come to need milk and not solid food." That's concerning. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." It is your responsibility, because of God's word and what God has given us, to be able to look at what is around you and discern what is good and evil. How do we do that? With God's word. Not always going, "Hey, pastor, yeah, I saw this, and yeah, I don't know. Is this good? Is this bad? Or what do you think?" It's okay. I don't mind you calling. But let's be honest. Some of you should know this by now. Do you know what happened in elementary school for me? It was fascinating. Teachers would read to me. Can you believe that? They would actually read to me. They would help me write. They would help me think. Do you realize what I do now? I don't hand this book to a teacher and say, "Will you please read this to me?" I pick it up and I read it for myself. Yes, it requires reading. If you can't read, well, pull out your phone. There's an app for that. And you can listen to it. Love listening to the Word of God on my app. It really is good when you're in traffic. I'm being dead serious. You're not going anywhere fast for anywhere, so let's listen. Calm those nerves a little bit. Focus on what's true, what's right. But I read it, I train, I think, I study, I meditate. Yeah, I take time. Pastor, I don't have time. Baloney, you have the same amount of time I have. You just choose to use it differently. We all get 24 hours a day, plain and simple. What you choose to use your 24 hours and what I choose to use my 24 hours will demonstrate how important this is. I know that sounds really harsh because you're probably going, but Pastor, you don't know my schedule. Nope, I don't. I understand being busy. But I also understand that this is important. Do you know why I listen to it in my car when I'm going places? Because I'm busy. But I make a choice. Do you know why I get up so early? Because I'm busy. And I make a choice. It's no longer elementary. Paul would tell Timothy, look at Timothy. We're going to go back to 2 Timothy, but we're going to go to chapter 2. Any kid who's ever gone through Awana knows this verse. It's the theme verse. Paul says, be diligent. We don't like that word, do we? Diligent. That means you're going to have to work at it. Put forth effort. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman. You know what workmen do? Oh, good. Yeah, work. See, the Bible's not that hard to understand, is it? What? No way. A workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. You know what assumption is made in this verse? That you and I are handling God's word. And Paul says you better handle it accurately. But the assumption is, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're handling His Word. Oh, that's convicting. There's work to do. Don't be lazy. Proverbs talks about the lazy man, by the way. Nothing good for him. And there's a reason we have to handle God's word accurately. Because not only are we to know it, we are to train. We're to train. Know, train, and delight in it. You're like, well, I'm not a teacher. I beg to differ. In Titus, Paul challenges the older men to train the younger men. I want you to raise your hand if you're an older man. Some of you little ones could even raise your hand because there are some that are younger than you, okay? In fact, most everyone in this room should be able to raise their hand if they're an older man because you're older than someone else, Trevin. Raise your hand if you're a younger man. Now, some of you, that might be harder to go, Yes, Fred raised his hand. I'm so proud of you, Fred. Good job, right? There's always someone older than you, hopefully, maybe. So if you're an older man, look for a younger man that you're going to train. If you're a younger man, look for an older man that will train you. We should have that expectation in the church. No, that's not just the pastor's job. It said of the older women, and I know better than to go there, okay? All right, but the older women are to train the younger women up too. What an amazing concept. See, I told you, it's not really hard to understand, but, and I love that our church understands the importance of this through some of our programs. But are you doing it outside of those programs too? Those programs are once a week. For an hour and a half maybe. Trail Life, Awanas, Heritage Girls, Youth Group. you investing in someone else's life? Parents, you better know this. You better know this if you're a parent, a mom, a dad, a grandparent. God tells us, as parents, what we're to do. In Deuteronomy, it's pretty clear. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words. What words? The words that God had given Moses on Mount Sinai. The scriptures. Says, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. Well, if something's on your heart, you know what? You tend to share that. You shall teach them, oh, there's that word again, diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you, oh, here's when you're supposed to talk about these words. Get a pencil or underline or something, okay? When you sit in your house. Okay. When you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall have them as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Oh my goodness. Guys, do you think God's word is important? Parents? God just said, every waking moment that you have with your children, teach them these words. When you lie down at night, let it be the last thing that is on your mind and your heart. When you wake up in the morning, you don't go and grab that phone and go, what's on Facebook? Oh! No, you go and you wake up and you praise God and draw your heart, their hearts to God and His Word. Do you know why I try to have a time with God in the morning? First of all, because I'm busy. Because it's a good way to start your day. God said so. God said so. That's a lot of work. Yeah. But you know what else God's word said? I love this verse, Psalm 37:4. I loved it as a middle schooler, and I didn't understand it really fully. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Can you imagine the desires of a middle school boy? That's not what it's talking about. It says that when you delight in God and His Word so much, all of a sudden, His desires become your desires. The things on His heart become the things on your heart. And here's the really cool thing. If you start to want what God wants, guess what? You're going to get it every time. Because you have delighted in Him, not the things of this world. You have allowed your thinking to be transformed. Transformed means there is a change that takes place. You delight. Do you realize if you delight in something, you make sure it happens? My daughter delights in chocolate-covered strawberries. I imagine she is going to run up here and try to have that afterwards because she delights in it. What if you woke up every morning and ran to God's Word because you delight in it so much? God, what is it you want to teach me today? How can I get to know you closer today? Do you know why I delight in this book? Not because it gives me warm fuzzies. Oftentimes I would read this book and I'm going, oh, crud, Jed, you really got to work on that. Jed, your heart is not right there. But I run to this book. I delight in this book because these are the very oracles, the words of God Almighty. That's why. There is nothing And I will challenge you on this. There is nothing greater in this world than the very words of God. It is life-sustaining. It changed my life. I hope they've changed yours. I'm going to close with a passage. I'm not going to read the whole passage. I want all of you to turn there. It's Psalm 119. You're like, oh, whew. For those of you who have read your Bible, you understand that Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the entire Bible. Good for you. I'm glad you knew that. If you didn't, now you do. Okay? I want to read for you one stanza. That's right, one stanza. I'll explain that in just a moment. Psalm 119, we're going to begin in the second stanza, which starts in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Your turn. I want you. I want each of you to take time this week to chew on God's word. I want you to taste what God has given us in all its richness. I want you to savor and delight in the way that God's word ministers to us. We just read a portion of Psalm 119. There are actually 22 stanzas. You're like, 22? Yeah, there's a lot of verses in there. It's a song. We sang a song this morning, Psalm 139, which goes and reiterates, it puts music to Scripture. I love songs that do that. You know why? Because, Nathan, melody helps me remember. A good song. How many of you have heard a song come on the radio and you have never even seen the words, but man, you can just sing along with it. If that channel changed, you could just keep singing the lyrics, right? God put a whole hymnal in his Bible, Psalms. The book of Psalms, man, it has some amazing songs. I don't know the melody, but my goodness, some gifted people have added melodies to a lot of them. They're beautiful. But I want you this week to take time to read that chapter. It's poetry. It's beautiful. There's prayers in it. But as the psalmist would write this, it was an acrostic. How many of you know the song A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, right? You know the melody even. Wow, good for you. How many of you learned that when you're like kindergarten, first grade? Wow. And you're still singing it at your age. That's good. That's impressive, right? Because there's a melody. Imagine the Israelites. They're teaching their children a song about the alphabet. If you have your Bibles, and you'll, I don't know about your digital Bible, but notice, look at this. On the screen there, right, or on the screen, no, it's not on the screen at all. But on the pages there, before verse 1, you see Aleph. Before verse 9, because there's 8 verses in each stanza, is Beth. In 4:17, Gimel. And Daleth, Hey, Vav, Zion. And you go through and you have each of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Wow! And each letter, if you were to read this in the Hebrew, it's kind of an acrostic, but each verse starts with that letter so that the children, oh, forget it, not even the children. Children are so good at remembering things, it's crazy. Okay? My nieces know 3 languages and they're not even in middle school yet. I'm struggling with that. It's for us adults. As we would sing this, as we would say this, and it would be in our hearts and our minds and the melody, as you read through this beautiful, beautiful chapter in the Bible, it speaks of God's Word. Praying His Word, prayers. It talks of the Torah, the law, the Word, sayings, commands, precepts, all the things that God has given you and I. And the psalmist is rejoicing. It's a praise song that they would sing together when they came together. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, we have hymns that have 4 stanzas, and we're like, we're going to sing the 1st, 2nd, and 4th. I don't know what happened to 3. I mean, we cut 3 out all so often. It's sad. Can you imagine 22, though? And it says, as you go through this, church, I want you to understand the importance of God's Word. Look at what it says. Understand the value. Reflect on your heart if you truly have a love and desire for God's Word like this. They sang it because it was important to know. Today, we're beginning a new Sunday Studies series. I would encourage you to stay for it. It's 9 weeks. Not a big commitment. But it's on the literacy, biblical literacy, how to study your Bible. We're going to look at that. It's really simple. My goodness, I could probably teach it in 2 weeks, but we're also going to go through the book of Philippians with it. It's going to be fun. But we're using this book, and I wanted to read just 2 excerpts out of this book. Corey Marsh says this. He goes, a far more urgent danger exists in the average pew every Sunday. Sincere Christians simply do not study the Bible for themselves. They tend to be satisfied only with whatever their favorite preacher, Christian author, or podcast says about the Bible rather than examining it personally. There's a danger in that. Someone said to me this week, I'm so glad we have a pastor that we can come and just trust his teaching. That terrified me. I hope you trust my teaching because you are going to God's Word and you know that I am in line with God's Word. And if I ever, ever deviate from that, take note. He writes, if ever there was a perennial matter in the church that slips by untreated, it is this: biblical literacy. In churches today, a Christian's awareness of the proficiency in Scripture are either assumed, designated for seminaries to address, or ignored altogether. Yet, if every single Christian doctrine, belief, and hope finds its origin in the Bible, there can be no matter of greater importance than for Christians to be biblically literate. I'm looking forward to this study because you and I need to be biblically literate. Are you ready to savor and delight in God's word this week? Or are you content with me just describing it? If so, you're starving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know the urgency on my heart in this matter. God, only you know what would happen if your church, your people, truly held tight to your word, desired it, devoured it, savored it. God, may it become integrated into our hearts and our minds. May we understand that the book that we hold is not just something off a printing press, but God, your very word that you have given us. And we thank you. God, may you go with us this week as we seek to know you and your word better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. As we close, we have another